What wondrous providence it is on this year in particular that on this Laetare Sunday, the Sunday on which the Church puts aside temporarily both the penitence and the colors of deep sorrow and penitence, exchanging the violet or purple for the rose, that it should also be the feast, which we will celebrate more fully tomorrow, of the putative father of our Lord Jesus Christ and most chaste spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the patron of the universal church, the patron of a holy death, Saint Joseph, whom we honor in every which way that is possible. How beautiful it is that on this day we should celebrate that. And then also what providence it is that on this day, when we recall this wonderful miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we shall see again later on in the year from the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, wherein he tells us, after having performed a magnificent miracle, there was nothing there to eat. He had performed other miracles, and many, many came when they saw that he had gone to the mountain by himself and with his disciples. But he expected them. He sat down as if he were going to teach. And that was the position in which our Lord taught most of the times in the New Testament. And of course, that is the reason why throughout the ages, notwithstanding what may be happening today, the Supreme Pontiff of the Church, the Pope, always sat down to preach and to teach. Not standing up like I do, but sitting down on the throne of Peter to teach definitively with authority, the authority of Christ that he had received from him. And so our Lord sat down on this mount. And then people began to arrive. They had seen the miracles. So many who had been blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk and leap like stags in the mountains. All this our Lord had done already. And this is at the beginning of the Gospel, the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. And so they knew something wonderful was happening, and something even more wonderful was about to happen. And they came. And our Lord, as always, is concerned for his children. Now, mind you, we have here two concerns that are simultaneous, and they still are. On the one hand, our Lord saw all these people. St. John says 5,000 men. Remember, the women and children were not counted. Only the men were counted, the head of the family. And so that means that most likely there were 5,000 women as well. And then the children, many children. It was an age where fertility was very much prized and desired, which is only in nowadays desired by those of us who try to follow Christ fully. And as a result, there could have been 5 or 10 children per family, maybe more. In the old days, parents were prepared to receive as many children as God was prepared to give. And I've told you before that my own grandmother was the last of 24 children. What a wondrous gift, the gift of life, which we so appreciate and love, especially in this shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, where we have so many little ones that make their joyful little voices heard. And more coming. There are at least three underway. Three that you do not know of, and one that you do know of. And we give thanks to God. And so, there were many people. There also were the servants and the slaves, which still existed in that age. And so, with an immense crowd, perhaps 40, 50,000, maybe more. And so our Lord, tempting St. Philip, he says, what are we going to do to feed all these people? Of course, he knew. He knows everything. He knows what you and I are doing tomorrow at this time. Hopefully, we'll still be here for the celebration of the Feast of St. Joseph tomorrow morning. But he knows everything. He was just testing him, as St. John tells us here. And then St. Andrew, the brother of St. Peter, says, there's a boy here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But what can we do with that? And our Lord doesn't answer him. Our Lord says, bring them here. And then he says, start handing them out, these 5 loaves, these 2 fish. And they begin. And we've seen this recently too in the Old Testament, in the life of Elisha and Elijah, how they also were able to perform miracles by the power of God and multiply the bread and the wine and the olive oil and so forth when there was none. And so our Lord is most definitely more powerful than his prophets. And so they all ate and had leftovers, 12 baskets full. Now mind you, it hasn't happened yet, and we will see this probably in June. He is going to make an announcement at this time, a great announcement. Because this miracle that he's performed was tremendous. Stupendous. And they were saying, could this be the prophet? And of course, they're not talking about Isaiah or Jeremiah. They're talking about the prophet, the Messiah, the one that is to come, the Savior, the Son of God. They understood. Not as well as you and I do. We already have seen it in the years of the churches preaching and teaching. And so they gathered somewhat who he was. And so they began to plot, and people are always thinking about things that they're going to do or whatever, not necessarily according to God's will. And they were going to take him and make him king. Now he already was king. They couldn't make him king. He was the king of the universe. He is the creator of the universe. He created them and those bread and those fishes, all of everything that is. So that was the arrogance and stupidity of man. Man makes idols and so forth and puts them in the middle of the church or the altar and makes people worship them. The golden calves that we have had all throughout the history of the church and still have today. False idols. And what false idols do you have? What false idols? But he is the one and only, the King, the Son of God the Father. And with the Father, they spirate God the Holy Spirit. There has never been anything like this before. What nation is there like unto us that God comes to us? And when you think about it, what church, if there is any, there isn't. What nation, what group of people is there like unto us that God comes to us? He comes to us in the most holy sacrament of the altar. He comes to us in the holy sacrament of Communion, the Eucharist. He is here, really, truly present. And with him, the Father and the Holy Spirit. So they want to make him king, those fools. And so he escapes. He is not interested in political power. And they could not understand that. Even the apostles could not understand that yet. And so he performs this magnificent miracle, a foretaste of the magnificent miracle that we shall witness here today. Because multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fish is nothing compared to changing by the miracle of transubstantiation bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Son of God, who is here with us, who is here for us, that we receive. So what a wonderful and providential thing it is. We rejoice with Jerusalem on this day. We rejoice on this Laetare Sunday because we have been given the true birth of the sons of God through baptism and the Eucharist, through the priesthood, through confirmation and the sacraments. So today let us rejoice. Rejoice, O you who are the new Jerusalem, the Holy Church of God, Mount Zion. We who are members of his church, through no merit of our own, we are the new Jerusalem, the new Israel. We are the sons and daughters of the promise. Rejoice, all of you. And with you today, in a very special way, rejoice the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse, as we also honor and praise him, who is our very special Father and protector and intercessor before the throne of Jesus in heaven. Rejoice, rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.